Call our meeting to order. We'll open with the pledge, and I've asked Max Lytle to give us an opening prayer, and he's going to do that for us.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we just praise your name and thank you so much, Lord, for this wonderful day. I pray, Lord, that you guide us and direct us in your business today. Lord, that you move in our lives so we might be your servants throughout this coming week. Lord, we pray these things in the name of our Savior.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Max. Okay, we're ready next on the agenda for minutes. Got 12, 3, 4, 7, 8, 9, and 11.
Motion for approval.
Second.
Okay. Any questions or discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Accounts payable. Ready to do those?
I am. Motion to approve.
Second. Discussion. Questions? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. And we've got a number of journal entries.
Yep. Motion for approval of journal entries.
You want to add transfers, or is that separate?
Yeah, transfers. Are the transfers too,
transfers
I guess?
Transfers on the same motion.
Okay, yeah.
Second.
Thanks. Questions, comments? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Okay, next ready for public comment. So we had a couple anyway.
Scott Novak.
Scott, welcome, sir.
I just have a concern I wanted to bring to you. I know you can't answer questions too much on short notice, but I recently went to sign up for my election at the Tandy County Ambulance District Board. Previously, the last two elections, I've signed up at the clerk's office. This year, I was directed back to go back to Tandy County Ambulance District to sign up. This kind of alarms me, and I'm concerned. I haven't read up the statutes or anything. But I thought the county clerk handled all our elections. So I assume that our county clerk is where we go to sign up for these elections, that we're qualified to sign up for these elections. I have great concern that I'm being directed to the ambulance district myself, or if it was a school board election, that I would be directed to the school board. First of all, at Tandy County Ambulance, we're not supposed to be handling elections. I doubt my staff is qualified to determine whether or not a person is in the right district or not for this county. They constantly change. We're based on population levels. If I live in Zone 6 and all of a sudden we have a massive population increase, it might have moved. The districts might have moved. My staff is not going to be qualified for that. Again, it's kind of like the proverbial fox guard in the hen house. If someone doesn't want someone running, I trust the county's clerk to be an independent entity to assure that everybody that gets in there gets signed up. Our district handling that is kind of like watching. If someone doesn't like someone, they could kind of shuffle it to the side, and then you got the burden of proof of signing up. Then you have to be notarized. I have one notary at TCA. If she happens to be sick that day or some, then that person would have to come back to sign up. In the clerk's office, I do know that they're either notarized or they have the authority to use the clerk's stamp to approve all this. So the last election we had, we spent $3,500, I do believe, one of the three elections. I was going through board packets last night trying to find out. We spend anywhere from $1,500 to $3,500 on election cost, whether or not we have an election. And it just seems a real conflict of interest having to go to entities. I would think you'd come to your county seat and you'd sign up for your election. Now, I have discussed this with a couple people just to make sure I wasn't on a high horse, a personal high horse. And somebody said, well, they made it like this for the school districts, because if you went to Mark Twain School, and you were going to be a member of Mark Twain's school district and you want to be on that school district, you shouldn't have to drive all the way to Tandy County, the foresight to sign up. Well, I kind of agree with that, but once again, you're still letting your own identities control the election when I would think that's what the clerk's office does. And whether or not I worded it right, those are my concerns, and I really don't know, and it just kind of bothers me, so I brought it to you folks.
What I can say is we can just check into it as a commission.
Sure.
We have meetings with the clerk and all that, and since this is public comment, it's not like we're going to have a debate right now. So
I understand that.
But what we can do is we can just discuss with the clerk and then go from there.
All right.
Is that good enough, guys?
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Donna stood up. She evidently would like to say something. Maybe she can answer your concern right there.
No problem.
I'm sorry. This is the first time I've heard of any concerns. The April election is a municipal election where every political subdivision in Tandy County will be running its elections, or if it happens to be a qualifying political subdivision, they'll have what's called a no election, which means they have an equal number of people filing for equal number of positions. It's the responsibility of each political subdivision to charge us with the ballot language. Even when we did allow the ambulance district to have their filing at our office, they still had to certify the ballot language. I got a call from Kevin Tweedy this time who asked me if he should be holding that or if I should be doing it, and I said I prefer that he did it, that it started sometime prior to my taking office, that our office agreed to do that because they didn't have the staff. They currently do, and I did. That was my question. Do you have someone full-time who's there available to do this? And the response I received was yes. So it was a courtesy that the clerk's office was doing it for that political subdivision. However, each political subdivision, it is their lawful duty to certify the elections to me. I'm happy. If anyone has a challenge, I suggest that they, when they're signing up at a political subdivision, that they request a copy of their candidate filing. As far as a notary, you don't have to have it notarized because it's my understanding, and I'll be happy to check that, because you're filing with that political subdivision, and they're certifying it for you. But I can check on the notary for that political subdivision. I'll do that work for them. I think I may have covered all of the concerns. If not, I certainly welcome any individual to come to my office, and I'll go through the election law with them.
Okay, very good. All right. Good enough?
Okay.
How about next?
Bob Chance.
Bob?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
The other day, we were over at the community center where some people there wanted to have a senior tax levy. And you gentlemen, all three of you were there, and as you know, I spoke out against it. And Jan, thanks for putting me in the paper, putting the truth. She said I was booed. Yes, I was booed. I'm proud that I was booed for that reason. I'm a senior. I'm 72. That was in the paper, too. I don't mind it. I'm 72. Hurrah. But those people down here, it seems like a little clique, a little club, who wants to raise some money to get lunches and more benefits for a certain group of people. And like I said the other day, when my mama was living, they told me, get Meals on Wheels. I called up, you live too far out. Well, when I brought that point up the other day, that lady again said, well, we go a little bit further, but we don't know where. We're working on two different... My gripe is this. Yes, we pay taxes for ambulance and fire. I don't care where you live in Taney County, north, south, east, anywhere. If your house burns, a fire truck will get there. It may take it 15 minutes to get there, but it will get there. Whether it's Western Taney, Central, Forsyth, there's fire departments. And the same thing with the ambulance. It may take them a little while to get there, but they will get there. But the senior tax issue, if there's somebody that needs Meals on Wheels, if they have a problem, you're not... the only thing they're going to do is take care of the people that have a $400,000 or $500,000 condo at the Branson Landing and close to the city or maybe in Forsyth. So the lady the other day brought up a point, and she looked, and I looked at Mr. Strophis when she said this. He smiled because she told her little group of people, well, talk to your commissioners and get this on the ballot, and if they don't, we'll vote them out. We'll find somebody who will get it on the ballot. Well, gentlemen, on the way home, I stopped by three businesses, spoke to some people, all of them seniors, and they said, no, that this is not going to fly. And they said, well, if these commissioners decide to put it on the ballot, we'll vote them out. So, gentlemen, you're between a rock and a hard place. You just have to figure out which group of people are going to be favorable to you getting reelected, because I talked to people all weekend, and the answer is no. So I'm just asking you not to. And if you do, then we'll take it up at a further point.
Okay.
Thank
you. Very good, Bob. Anybody else? That it? Okay. Next on our agenda is Stanton County Board Developmentally Disabled. That'd be Max Lytle. Welcome, Max.
Commissioners, as you know, the state law, section 205-968-972, that governs and directs the activities of the Taney County Board for People with Developmental Disabilities, states that 9 members will be appointed to the board by the commissioners or the executive of the county, and that 3 terms of those 9 members shall expire every year. So the members are appointed for a 3-year term on a staggered basis. Each year, 3 people's terms expire. In other words, on December the 31st, I will have 3 vacancies. The law says that those people shall serve until you reappoint them or appoint someone new to serve in their capacity. The law does not put any kind of limitations on the number of terms that a person may serve. Some county boards that I'm familiar with around the state have done it themselves. Some commissions around the state have done that themselves. But neither of those hold true here in Taney County. This year, I have 3 very good board members whose terms are expiring, and I've got 2 other people that have responded to the advertisement for availability of positions that would like to be considered. So I wouldn't want to be in your chairs this morning, but you've got a very good problem. You've got 5 excellent candidates for 3 positions to serve the people of Taney County for the next 3 years. The 3 board members whose terms are expiring are Kathy Dodds, who's been on the board for 3 years. Kathy is a former director of special education over in the Branson school system, and prior to that in Reed Spring. Highly qualified woman, knows a lot about eligibility of services, a lot about working with the school districts. That's what she's done in the last 3 years in helping our county board work more closely with the public schools, and in particular working with them to transition their older students into the adult services programs that we have. Kathy is finishing up a term as the vice president of the board. If she's reappointed, more than likely she'll be the president next year. Board members elect those positions in January. Dr. Dean Porter is ending a term. Dean is finishing actually the year as the president of our board. Dr. Porter is a doctor in the Skaggs Urgent Care Facility. He's an emergency room doctor. Dr. Porter is very active with Tanton Sheltered Workshop as well. As a matter of fact, he was active with Tanton Workshop even before you appointed him to the board 3 years ago. He and his wife did some volunteer work in decorating and painting and things over there. He has a son who has Down syndrome who works at the workshop. And he has a son. His son also lives in our HUD apartment project. So Dean is very active in the month-to-month business oversight that the board gives for the HUD project that I administer as well. The third candidate or third board member whose term is expiring is Brenda White. Brenda's been on the board since the year 2000. She served 3 full terms now. Prior to that, she served on the Tanton Sheltered Workshop Board for at least 2 or 3 terms. I didn't go back and research it that closely. Brenda and her husband own a local business. They have an adult child who has a severe disability who happens to live in a group home facility up in Springfield, because years ago when their daughter needed services, we didn't have anything here in Taney County, and they had to go to Springfield for those services. Brenda has been in just about all the different officers' positions over the years. When I first started, she was vice president and then the president. She's now finishing her term as secretary. She's a very strong advocate for families who keep their kids at home, because she's been through that herself and having to go out of town, go out of county, to find the services that she needs for her children. Then the two people who responded to the advertisements for availability of positions, and you know, when I first started in 2002, that's what you told me you wanted me to do, is every year to make a public announcement in the newspapers that positions are available, and this year I had two men who responded. One is Chuck O'Day. Chuck's a local guy, graduated from Branson High School. He's currently and has been for about the last 5 years, the general manager of Hollywood Wax Museum. He and his wife, Michelle, have a small child, a preschool-age child, a little girl with Down syndrome. They have another daughter as well, but their little girl with autism, is in the Branson school system. Chuck and his wife were very instrumental this past summer in organizing an autism awareness activity over in the Branson area that actually raised over $20,000. Some of that money was given in individual grants through a national organization to families here in Taney County. Some was given back to Developmental Connections so that we can buy supplies for the Project Lifesaver program, where we buy the wristbands, transmitters for children that run away, so that they can be located in case they happen to get lost. And the rest of the money went for national research in autism awareness, and you're probably seeing some of those commercials on TV. I've been watching them over the last weekend or so. And then along with Chuck was a gentleman by the name of Brent Hedrick. Brent and Chuck happen to be close friends. Brent's originally from Olathe, Kansas. He moved here about 8 or 9 years ago. He's a partner and an operator of Vacation Sales of America. He is the godfather of a young preschool-aged child who has autism as well. So he's very actively involved in this child's life. Both Chuck and Brent would bring a little different perspective to the board, in that they represent families with very young children. And I don't happen to have any board members who have young children in their families anymore. Years ago, when you appointed Tracy Barton and Tim Connell to my board, they had young children, but those children are grown now. And if you were looking for a little broader mix of representatives on the board, that would be one thing to take into account. Brett Hedricks, also, because he's not a parent, would just be a public representative on the board. The state law says that you must have at least two of those kind of representatives on my board of directors, which you do. But if you wanted to mix things up a little bit, you've got that option. As I said before, I wouldn't want to be sitting in your position right now, because you've got three positions and five very good candidates. I will leave that with you. Traditionally, what you always do is you take some time to give some consideration. I think you make a few phone calls as well, Danny, just to check these things out and talk to these people, and then you'll let me know once you've made a decision.
When is our deadline for this? The end of this
year?
Well,
as I said, the terms expire on the 31st, but gotcha. The law says that they will serve until you reappoint or fill that position with someone else.
Gotcha. Jim, in the past, he's made this presentation, which very, very good presentation, and to us, and we schedule it for the next week.
Okay.
As he said, I made several phone calls, talked to these sure. people that were recommended last time, and I think it's a very good board, and I appreciate the work you do, Max, at this. But usually, I think we just probably
next week or
schedule
so.
It for
next
week,
the next week.
Next week.
So.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you. Thanks, Max. Mm-hmm. Any questions or comments on Max's presentation or questions?
Can you make a note of that?
I just did.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Next is Neighborhood Assistance Tax Credit Program Grant. And I don't see Kathy, but we've got the document here. Have you had a chance to look at this, Bob? You know about it?
Are those the NAP credits? Or?
Yes.
I'm not real up to speed, but this is to benefit the family health care clinic that's about to be opened in one of the old Branson school buildings.
These are state tax credits for people who donate to these entities? Is that?
Well, that's my understanding. I hope you
Do we need to table it just for you to review it, or you good with it?
I'm fine with the NAP credits. The way I remember it is somebody donates to wonderful charitable agency A, and they get a state tax credit if they're an approved organization. And if we have wonderful charitable organizations A, B, and C, it's great to have all of them able to accept money, and the people who give them money get the tax credits for it. That's my understanding, but I haven't, again, looked at it this year, but we've done this in the past.
We've done it for, I'm trying to remember what organizations.
So do we just approve it? The grant application, is that what we do?
While Bob's taking a quick look, for those that are interested, group, mostly Branson folks, initiated this through what they call Catalyst Groups. There's an organization in Memphis. It's been going about 20 years. I believe his name is Dr. John Morse. Anyway, I did travel out there with some others and looked at it. Their goal is to provide health care to working, non-insured folks. It's not a free program. There's a sliding scale where you pay so much to get the care. But the doctors that do the service work for free. They do pay the staff, the nursing staff, and the receptionists and those folks. That's where the money that's collected goes.
That's just one example. Is that what you're saying?
No, that's what this is. It's called the Family Health Clinic or Faith. What's the name on there?
FCH, Faith Community Health.
There we go.
And if I may, 32.110 of the Revised Statutes of Missouri requires a local government, that's you gentlemen, certification of all projects submitted to the Department of Economic Development at the state level, okay, for the Neighborhood Assistance Program. All applicants as part of the proposal must submit this completed certification form. So in order to get it, they have to have this form, and it's one that you certify. And it says that this form doesn't signify approval of a proposed NAP project by the Taney County Commission. Form only serves to certify that the NAP project is not in conflict with the existing plans and ordinances approved, enacted, or enforced by the local unit of government. So in other words, you're basically saying that they're not violating any of your ordinances or laws here in Taney County. For instance, if they were operating something that was in violation of planning and zoning, you couldn't certify this. And as Commissioner Pennell said, Faith Community Health is committed to providing Stone and Taney County's working uninsured, including the seasonal tourist industry employees, with quality, affordable health care and wellness education based on the individual's spiritual, physical, mental, and emotional needs. Their goal is to meet an unserved need in the community by providing health care to those who repeatedly rely on costly urgent care and emergency room visits or receive no health care at all. And it's for Taney and Stone counties. And what they're looking for is your certification that they're not violating any of your ordinances so that they can apply for their approval to be able to receive NAP tax credit funds.
I'll make that motion that we approve to send this application in.
I see a question on this man's poker face.
I understand that, you know, this is so each and every individual that would be interested in doing something like this, how are they chosen?
They have to apply to the state, not to us. If you look right on the document, it says this is not an approval of the NAP project.
Right.
You covered most of that, and I understand that. I just didn't know how that. I was just wanting more information on that, and I don't think it has anything to do with our approval of it.
Just see real quick.
Didn't have any information on that to start off with, so I'm not read up on it.
Okay, they have to submit a proposal to the Department of Economic Development, and in order to submit their proposal, they have to have this form, this local government certification.
I'm talking about the individuals that would go in that would need the services. How are they chosen?
I don't know anything about that.
Okay. If it's not our
it's not our responsibility.
Our responsibility or decision, but I would like to know before I vote on something.
There was an open house. Was it last week or the week before? Okay. They kind of went through that. There's multiple avenues, if I'm not mistaken. Of course, I've had a few meetings since then, but I believe you can go through the YMCA also. I think there's an avenue there.
There's a wellness center.
Wellness center. You can contact through the YMCA to contact this, and then there's also they're working with multiple other agencies that we're familiar with, Christian Associates, CAM, all that. They can go through that avenue. And then some other nonprofit, I think church entities are also working with them. So they've got multiple entry points into their system.
Are they going to need planning and zoning approvals and that sort of thing for this
It's
project?
All within the city of Branson.
It's in the city of Branson.
And it's all been approved and they're open.
So they need one from Branson as well.
Let me second this motion. So this, for us, it's very, really not impactful.
Right.
I mean, Branson's also going to be providing that.
I'd just like to know
who's
qualified, who's not. Right. And as you said, on a sliding scale. So are you ready to vote on it?
Yep, we're good.
Just FYI, I'm fairly certain Skaggs Hospital has given them the building.
That's true, they have.
It's remodeled, and I don't think they're actually open today, but I think the first part of the year they're supposed to be open. And Dr. Marcellus, Ed Akers, Bob Simmons, Sue Head, John Baltus, I think, are board members,
right,
if I'm remembering right. So good bunch of folks. Okay, all those in favor, say aye.
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 Motion carries. Give the public any chance to ask anything. Any questions on that? Okay. Next on our agenda is Solid Waste District Board. Actually, I think it's Board N appointment. I'm going to need to table this.
Right.
The person that's been recommended and approved by their employer, I have not got to speak to yet. So.
Okay. Do you just want to repost it another day?
Yeah,
another
we'll just repost it.
Second table?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll just repost it.
We'll just repost it. Never mind tabling.
What else?
The only other thing I was going to say, there was a, just for clarification, there was a health issue. Health insurance was approved on Friday, but then we pulled it off the agenda.
Oh, yeah.
And it's only because we were going to talk, Cox Health wanted to come in and just visit with us, but they weren't prepared with their information yet, so they're going to repost it at a later date, probably next week or the week following. So we were going to make that available. So that was the only thing on the agenda that I wanted to make sure we pointed out.
Megan, what else?
We've got some other updated information here. So make sure I have my information in front of me. In an effort as a county, we're implementing some toll-free calling from this courthouse to the Branson Hollister area because it's long distance based off how the phone system is set up. There's also a phone number, which is 332-1900. What has happened is our system dynamically decides if it's a long distance, then dials it for us through our own infrastructure. I know I'm talking maybe a little too technical, but anyway, it goes free of charge over to the Branson Hollister side. Well, a lot of times people were dialing the number that was posted on their caller ID, which was 332-1900. They'd hit redial, and it went right back to the clerk's office, which is they had a lot of more phone calls than they used to get because it wouldn't say what department. It would just post one main number. So what we are implementing is an auto attendant, and that's why I'm bringing that up, is where you'll dial, if you're dialing 332-1900, you're going to get an auto attendant, and it's for the whole county courthouse system. So For example, it says press 1 for the county clerk or 2 for the court systems and public administrator. Anyway, we're implementing that later on this week, and I didn't want anybody to be
caught off guard.
That's a good reason. Hit 1 if you want to go back to Donna Neely's office or court the or dial 0 and it goes back to her. But otherwise, you can navigate through all the departments now and get to where you want to without having to be transferred a bunch of times. What we're hoping is to reduce the number of phone calls that are going to the clerk unnecessarily, and also for people to be able to get to the department without actually having to hold, and I don't know what number that is, a transfer and all that. They've been real gracious, the clerk's office has, but anyway, this is an effort just to be a little bit more efficient with everyone's time. So anyway, that's being implemented later on this week. Like you guys, we've talked about it many times. Tammy Hagler and Century, what do they call now? Century Link has been working with them. So
why didn't you just put a live person on there?
This is not the time to add that kind of first headcount because we have to add like 3.
Much more expensive is my
much point. More expensive. This is something we already owned and we just needed a program. So
question.
I just wanted to ask a question about, will my election judges be able to dial directly into my office without going through the tree?
Yes. Anybody who has direct numbers still goes. If you don't know everyone who has an individual office number, like 7204, you'll still get the it's our number, right? 7204 is our commission office. Speed dial. I know what number to hit. So those direct dial numbers don't change. The only number that's going to change is the 546-7200, which is the default number for the clerk. That is now going to go to the phone tree also. So if you don't, a lot of times if people didn't know who to call, they would just call 546-7200 and Donna became the, not Donna, but Donna's office became the switchboard operator, which was adding a lot of extra phone calls. And so that also will now go to the auto attendant also. So we've got 2 main numbers. They go to the same place, and we think we've set it up as a good start. Now, as we hear feedback, we may modify the tree a little bit, but we believe that this gets you to anywhere in the department, and every department's listed, both elected and non-elected officials. So
that'll be, that phone number will be in the next phone books
the
that
next
come
phone.
Out.
Right.
We so the public will know that it's non-toll call from Branson area.
Right. So that will be in the phone book. So if you dial, if you're in Branson, it'll be in the phone book. 332-1900, it's no longer long distance to here. We know that just with the infrastructure we're paying, I'm going off memory here, $1,200 to $1,600 a month in long distance just dialing Branson Hollister is what we were paying per month. So we know that there was equal charges from individuals trying to call the courthouse. So we made that avenue free of charge.
I guess we ought to make a point, if we have the opportunity to all the offices in the courthouse, that when they're talking to folks that might be calling again, mm-hmm. to make them aware that phone number is out there so that they can make that savings too.
Most every department has recorded a recording, so they're sort of aware. Yeah, Tammy's been working with everyone to get it. That's why it's been taking a couple weeks to get everyone's recordings done.
Cool.
So, Mr.
Bob?
I didn't know you were going to discuss this, but I just happened to bring a few things, and I'm wondering something. I appreciate what you've done with that number. Mm-hmm. A lot of people for years now have been telling me, well, you know, I'd call the sheriff department, but I got to pay a toll call, this is great. However, can you go a little bit further? A little bit further is my telephone bill, I just got it the other day, is $12.73, but when I get all through, it's $24.58. Tax, 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 tax. In this week's National Review, it says here that we are still paying a tax, which was a temporary measure to the phone company for the Spanish-American War.
It's true.
Okay, that's true. Okay. It's in the magazine, and you said it's true. And I don't want to bring up, like a lot of the folks that move here, well, where I lived, but I have to. When I was in Nashville, you were able to call any county that touched Davidson County. So you can call Wilson County, you can call other counties. Whoever did the work on getting as far as we did, can we work on that a little bit? I mean, they're making a fortune with all the taxes. Can we go a little bit further and try to call
other people?
I mean, I've had one conversation with I guess it would be the regional president. That would be a pretty big task. They gave me no hope of ever changing. So well,
they do it in other places.
I know that.
Okay.
There's been folks here along the way that I've seen that have brought that issue up to the phone company and tried to do it, gosh, for many, many years. And not saying it wouldn't work if you tried it again, but it's been tried numerous times. And if I remember correctly, one of the things that was said was, yeah, the phone company could do that, but you go to wherever you were talking about, Nashville or wherever, wonder what the phone bill is there. In other words, to get the service you're wanting, everyone's going to have a higher phone bill, if I remember correctly. That's one of the reasons that it stopped. That, yeah, they can do that. They could do Altany County or whatever you said, Denver, different counties. But in order to do that, they're going to have to raise everybody's rate. Again, that's my memory, Bob, of one of the reasons that it did not continue on. But there's been a lot of people complain of that. Can't call Branson from Rockaway Beach without it being toll call.
Right.
It doesn't make sense.
But I can look at Rockaway Beach and I pay a phone call to call across the lake. I mean, I can give smoke signals better. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. Next.
I mean, the only other thing that we talked about is I was going to, for the public's information, just to let you know that some of the meetings we did last week.
Yeah.
One thing we're obviously talking about is budget. We're going to be finalizing our budget by tomorrow so that it can be posted in time for it to be voted on, I think, by January, whatever the deadline is. So December 30th is when we'll have to vote on it. But anyway, the 15th is when I think our last time to change so that we can post it and have it available, copies available for people to review and all that. So that we've had budget discussions this last week. A couple other highlights. On Tuesday, we had an airport board meeting for the Hollister Airport, the Graham Clark Airport. They gave us their monthly numbers. They have seen the economy has hit them also, but they're near break even. They've made some cuts and all that, so gave us a very positive outlook. The hangar that is open and for rent, we have actually, I think, was it 6 spots available for rent? We used to have a waiting list of about 70 airplanes to be hangared. Now we have, after going through all the waiting lists, we have about 6 to 7 spots open, which is pretty normal. Actually, we're in better shape than others, so that was one highlight there. But Mark Perrin out there is doing a fine job. I'm speaking of the one commissioner, managing a near break-even operation in this down economy. On Wednesday, we had variable things, some Corps of Engineer discussions, and you guys can chime in. The HRP, which is our homeless prevention, we are approving some more of their monthly expenditures, which is required by state. And they're just now starting to implement where money's actually getting out in front of people and getting into people's hands. So that's a positive thing there. I mean, I can talk about a few other things. The transfer station, we had a meeting out there just to talk about operation out there.
Change of hours would be something that would be
right.
Need to be noticed.
We are at January 1st, we're going to be changing the hours out there. Right now it ends on an odd time.
3:45
is the closing time currently. We're going to move it to 4. And then on Saturdays it was 12:45 and now it's going to go to 12. Is that correct?
Yep.
So there's change. There's signing. We're posting the signs and all that. But January 1st, we're making those changes just to be more normal for people. They can't remember if it's 12:45, 1:45. But anyway, the hours will be changed, adjusted out there. And we're just FYI, we've had multiple meetings about it, but we're in the process of modifying that facility out there, working with the Missouri DNR so that we can be able to segment commercial haulers from residential haulers. So there's we've not had any accidents out there, but we want to make sure that we can keep the residential and the commercial separate, so it's more of a safety measures. And so that was a part of the ongoing discussions of we now have to put doors on the facility. We used to have doors, but it wasn't required. Now DNR requires doors
to be able to lock up the facility at night, and that's going to take a reengineering, some reengineering. So anyway, that was part of the thing. Mr. Chance mentioned our senior tax levy meeting that we had out at the community center, and the only other thing that we had of note that I'm going to bring up is the CID Branson Creek has set requested a CID, a modification community improvement district, and we had to set a hearing date, which is now January 11th at 9 a.m. I think is that was going off memory. Does that sound right? January 11th. So anyway, there'll be that's a Monday morning. We'll have the hearing for the modification to their CID.
And all they're doing is taking some property out of the CID and putting some other in.
Correct. They're just moving some boundary lines is all they're doing, but it's required. So
bridge. Talk about it.
Yeah, we can talk about the bridge. Obviously, you guys have been reporting it well for those media people. But Thursday is a groundbreaking at 3:30 over at the parking lot. I guess at the landing parking lot, I think is how I understand it.
South part of the parking lot. Yeah,
and then Coon Creek will
I got stopped on the way over here to one lane traffic. They were paving or something there.
Coon Creek should be done and completed by tomorrow, I think, is their deadline, and I think they're on pace to do that. It may not be striped, but it'll be drivable, and the finish grade maybe in the ditches won't be done, but they're on pace to be complete. So,
I appreciate you doing that because there's good information. That one thing that you brought up that brings something might add to it on the transfer station, the Department of Natural Resources regulates the transfer station. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that put the doors on, Jim was talking about. The inspector that inspects us has insisted that we require anybody that's using the transfer station, dumping their trash there, to wear a hard hat and a vest. This inspector explained, I believe, to Frank, who oversees that for us, that the reason he is so particular about this, he had seen a situation where an individual was killed, run over by the piece of equipment moving the trash. And so anyway, I mean, it's his rule. And if you or your friends are going to the transfer station and it ticks you off, that's not a real nice way of saying it, but if it bothers you, it's not the people working there's fault. It's DNR, and we support them. The hats and the vest are hanging there. There's been some issue that you're asked to wear a hard hat that somebody else has worn, lice or something like that. We take disinfectant spray and spray them and cleaning the vest and doing hopefully the best we can to make that as good a situation. Another thing that came up similar on that line in our discussion, some of our employees mentioned that children many times will come with their parents to dump the trash. And did we not decide to do an age limit, or
we talked to our insurance carrier first to make sure that we weren't liable, and we're covered for no matter what the age is. So the age is really up to us to set, and so we're looking for a minimum age to get out of the vehicle when you're in the transfer station area, just from a safety perspective. Some of the kids are just, you know, when they're out there, like to look around, and it's really not a place to play there's nails, it's not a safe place. So we're going to be implementing an age, minimum age out there too, which we may get some pushback, but like you said, the inspector, that rule of hard hats and vests have always been on the books. This inspector chooses to enforce it, and we're fine with it. We've not had an accident or an incident out there. We don't want one. So we're going to do the measures we needed to do.
The gentleman, Brian, that does our backhoe, that pushes that trash in there, whenever he sees kids, he pretty much just stops.
Mm-hmm.
Very impressed with the quality of people we got working out there, and they're really trying to be careful and do a good job, and hooray for them. But again, thanks for bringing
up. One more thing, I think you got a phone call about it last on Friday, the White River Emergency Communications Project. We voted to obviously renew the application and move forward on the grant that we're continuing to do, and then Chuck got a phone call Friday?
Yeah, I believe it was Friday. I was in my truck and cell phone rang, and the comment was, Roy Blunt would like to speak to you, and I figured it was some kind of a campaign thing. But it wasn't. It was really Roy Blunt.
Yeah.
And he was just wanting us to know that the grant, in fact, I think Mr. Houseman mentioned something about it last week. We had applied for $900,000, and he was confident that we would get $400,000.
So he saw, saw $400,000 through appropriations at the federal level that will come
this through. This is a communications equipment for our sheriff's departments, fire departments. I think we've already received $400,000 once before, and it's a renewing type situation grant. And so we appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good point.
One thing that we did that you had on your list was our work with the Corps of Engineers, which is progressing at a good pace. Seemed to be the projects that originally started off of approval of 17 lake access projects to be all approved at one time. We've slowly shown that we are moving on those projects, and we have full cooperation up to this point with moving on with other projects that to keep the lake accesses open. I was going through removing some papers from one of my vehicles, and I run into a full-page article of misleading information that was in the Centennial of Stone County or something about the lake.
This is an old article you're talking
it's
about?
It's an old article.
Yeah.
Don't panic on the local.
Get excited.
Yeah. Anyway, we are, even with some of the private individuals, roadways and things that the Corps of Engineers has been working with us on those projects, and we expect approval of a few more here just shortly. So I just wanted to bring that up.
No problem. One more thing I was just going to point out to those listening or on here. We post our agenda for the week is on our website. It's current. It's accurate. So, if you want to know what the commission is doing, where we're going to be, if there's two or more of us gathered going to talk about county business or the potential to talk about county business, it's posted on the agenda. It's on the calendar part of it. But once again, just want to make sure everyone knows that if they want to be here, they can, and we make sure it's available for them. So
that reminds me of something else. I got an email recently. Our computer folks are looking at changing our website a little bit, right?
They're working through some
info there or invitation for people to.
Well, I've met with Gary Morgan and Sean McKinley, I believe is his name, down. And they've gone through some changes and some challenges in the IT, so it's not been as quick as hopeful, but they're working on some modifications to make it a little more interactive, a little bit easier to navigate. And so we're in the process of redoing our main homepage. And if the public has some feedback, if they'd like to see some navigational buttons or something that you would think that we want to make sure we put on the homepage or RA page, or it's just not even on the web and they want us to make sure it's out there, let the commission office know. Talk to Nick or Jillian, they'll make a note of it, and we'll be able to make those changes. But anyway, that is we're on the process right now of modifying all that to make it easy for everyone to get information. So
just for fun, Jim, would you go back? You were helping me Friday on finding something in the minutes. Back to our calendar there, and you can go as I guess you said, Jim, you can go to the explanation point, and that'll play you the meeting. And then also, wasn't there another way you could go right to the printed minutes also, Jim?
Yeah.
How was it that works?
We just approve
those. It probably has to go back to November, maybe.
Yeah, because we just approved those, so they aren't posted yet until we approve them. So it should be there now. So there's a an Acrobat PDF of the meeting minutes.
So
and maybe if there was a flyer, we included the flyer part of that. So once again, it's all being accurate and kept up to date.
Yep.
So,
anyway. All right.
I want to ask you one thing. You had said the ceremonies are at 3:30 regarding the new bridge?
If you're, yes, sir. If you're, and you're probably going to ask a question about Partners in Progress?
Well, yes.
Partners is at 2:30.
Well, right, but...
And
but,
then we'll move from there to the groundbreaking at 3:30 at the parking lot.
Okay, well, I looked Saturday on the...
On our agenda, and it shows...
at 2:30, am I right?
Yes.
Well, we're starting at 2:30 at the partners meeting, and it'll continue. Okay. Yeah.
We posted... It's still posted... Yeah, it's still posted for 2:30, but it actually the actual right. ceremony is 3:30.
Good.
Art?
I wanted to remind you Scott was talking about when he first got up there about regulations and things.
Uh-huh.
The Taney County ambulance people are all regulated through Jeff City. This board here, you guys don't have nothing to say about it.
Right.
But Scott needs to know that instead of bringing bother you guys with stuff like this.
Okay. What else? Anybody else have a comment? All right, we'll recess for a couple of minutes and then go into something at 9:45. Obie Jones tax issue. Thank you for being